Ladies and gentlemen of the Bob Seger Boulevard podcast, the one and only Sean Murphy, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, good morning, Sean.
Good morning, Jim. How are you doing?
Good. First time in Detroit?
Hardly. I lived here for about 27 years, and then I did a lot of moving, and I'm finally now in Nashville. So it's great to be back to my, I think, of my third home.
It's always wild to me. We ran into each other down in Dallas and came down to watch one of the shows, and it was a great performance. But it's always strange when I watch a Seger show in another market, because I feel like someone's watching my kid. I'm like, wait a minute. You can't clap for Bob. He's ours. You can't. What are you doing? No, you can't yell out for Sean. She's ours. We're very possessive of you guys. You know that, right?
Very protective. And I really like that about you guys.
It's crazy, though, isn't it? I mean, when did you know that Seger was, when you think about it, like you were doing studio sessions going back to what, 73?
Uh-huh.
And then touring probably late 70s. When did you realize the scope of what Bob Seger had become?
Well, I would have been really disappointed if he hadn't reached the pinnacles that he has, just due to the fact of his overwhelming talent. I mean, I know there's a lot of people that are just sort of, you know, press and play, and all of a sudden, you know, you're on The Voice, and then you have a $1 million contract. Bob came up the real way, and I'm thrilled for him. I'm just absolutely thrilled for his success.
And you too. I mean, I want to mention the website, SeanMurphyBand.com, of course, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you've been doing so much stuff on your own. And it's cool to see you guys, because I hope that people understand that the whole of the Silver Bullet Band, there's so much talent. It is startling to see the sheer volume of talent on stage beyond Bob.
It really is. And not often do the pieces of the Seger Band, the Silver Bullet Band, and the newbies, what I call them, from Nashville, that people are really interested in everybody's background, you know, what they're doing, what they're going to be doing. It's a great thing. All this internet stuff has just exploded, and everybody wants to know everything about everybody.
Well, I've always said it's one of the funniest things about Facebook, when people come up to you and they know something about you and they've never met you, but they feel like they know you.
That's right.
Yeah.
And in a sense, they do, you know, and I just love every one of them, because they're posing great questions, and they want to see you, they want to help. You know, we have this thing called the Street Team, and people come on board and they, you know, they help promote your shows. You know, they call radio stations and like yourself and request my music. The people are just a great, great help.
So, yeah, because, you know, like you said before, I mean, I've always, you know, you've always heard the story. Everyone knows that Bob is a regional act. Bob would do, you guys would play the Silver Dome and then be in Chicago playing in front of 500 people the next night. But you think about now, like, you have so many platforms now. Your music, when it comes out, Sean, you can get it out to people in a more timely manner, and the word of mouth is a thousandfold what it was back then, and we'd go to the record store or go see a live performance somewhere.
Oh, absolutely. Everything's going viral these days, and I'm very happy to be in some of those places.
So how did you wind up, was it Punch? Or how? I apologize, I really don't know the whole story. How did you wind up with Bob and being up on stage there?
Wow, that is a good question. Well, years and years ago, our friend Punch Andrews used to be also a booking agent, not only just Bob's manager and agent. And he booked a lot of local acts, and one of them was mine. We did a lot of his clubs in the area. And one day I was at one of the Hideout clubs picking up a check, and in walks Bob Seger, and that's how I met him. And it was, I think, 1969. And who should happen to be playing that night was Cream. So I get to meet two of my heroes and later my bosses.
Wow.
In the same night. It was just truly amazing. So that's how I got into the beginning of working with Bob. And then, you know, certain things happened along the way, and I joined the musical Hair that was in town at the Best Pocket Theater. did the run of the play there. And then the first night, Motown came to the show. And they later contacted Meatloaf and I and wanted to know if we would want to do an album together. And at the time, I was using a pseudonym because I didn't think I was going to be working in music or theater. I don't know what I thought I was going to do. But anyway, I was using the name Stoney a friend of mine in another band in another state had used that name. I thought, that's really cool that he's not using his real name. So that's what I did. That's where that came from, not drugs.
Okay. Well, okay. That's good to know. Okay. So you and Meatloaf, I think a lot of people don't understand that Meatloaf was here. He did session stuff at Motown as well, right?
Oh yes. So we did the Stoney and Meatloaf album here. And, I had known Meatloaf for a long time because he had been living in Midland, Michigan for many years. And he had a couple bands up there, one of which was Popcorn Blizzard. And we used to do a lot of festivals together. So I had known him previous, to hooking up with him on Motown. So, yeah, there was a long history with us too, as well. So,
man, so those times, like, and the first studio album you were on would have been what for Bob?
Kathmandu.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, my friend. I was Stoney, and I had a friend named Rocky. So I pulled her in, and we did the backgrounds on Kathmandu. That was 73, I think. And then very shortly after that, I was still living in California because right at the time I was ready to do the second record with Motown, that was all that upheaval with Berry Gordy and he's stepping down.
Right.
And they moved out to L.A. and Suzanne DePass took over his spot. And so they brought me out to L.A. And I sat there, and I did some, you know, trial runs with Bob Gaudio and Artie Fields and trying to kind of shoehorn me into a Helen Reddy slot, which I didn't feel like I wanted to go there. So anyway, I called up Punch, and I said, hey, Punch, what's going on back in Detroit? Because, you know, I used to work all the time, and I'd just been sitting there in L.A., and I just driving me crazy. So he said, well, Bob, it just so happens that we're looking for a background singer. One of the background singers with the Borneo band at the time that Bob had stepped down. So I said, well, I've never done that, but it doesn't sound too hard. Sign me up. So I packed everything, and I called Motown. I said, when you're really interested in doing something, call me. Otherwise, I'm going back to work. So I drove back to Detroit and started work with Bob Seger in the Borneo band around 74, 73, something like that.
Wow. Sean Murphy with us here. And your music, I mean, especially blues and stuff, I know, like, doing gigs in Ann Arbor and stuff, was blues always just something in your soul? You seem like you were very soulful at a young age. I mean, is this just one of those things you just fell in love with the blues, the idea of it?
I did. And then when I was actually in the very first Ann Arbor Blues Festival in 69 with my band Wilson Moore Pursuit, and got a chance to be up close and personal with, gosh, the people that were there that time, Big Mama Thornton, oh my God, you know, Luther Allison, Muddy Waters, who else? B.B. King was there. I think even Albert King. I mean, the list is enormous on that first incarnation of the Ann Arbor Blues Festival. I said, just that, it took my breath away, and I've been following blues ever since.
And to me, there's types of music, and you do a great job of capturing it when you record it, but there's something about doing it live. And it seems like there's, you know what I mean? It's a different connection with the audience. When you're on stage, I can tell you're really into it.
I am, and I like to just grab those people by the brain and just shake them, you know. I'm not one of those, you know, stand back and just sing softly. I just hammer at home.
Well, it's always, Sean, like, I always, you know, like, as I remember, like, even in high school, the first thing they told us in public speaking was never make eye contact, look at the back of the room, right? You know, find a spot in the back of the room. You're on stage, it looks like to me, you're making eye contact the whole time. You feed off that, don't you?
Absolutely do. Well, when I was in school doing speech class, I I didn't make eye contact, and I looked at the back of the room because I was terrified. I'm terrified in small audiences. But give me 10,000 people, boy, and I go to town. Yeah, you know, I love to connect with the people, shake their hands while I'm on stage, and I'm just right there with them.
Oh, and then like when you guys are up with Bob, I mean, you and Laura and Barbara, you guys are having so much. It seems like there's this. You guys are in sync with each other, obviously doing this, but you all have this little cat who ate the canary grin on your face, like you're just having the best time.
We are absolutely having the best time, and I love working with Laura Creamer and Barbara Payton, and it's just, you know, finally the trio is all set. So Barbara's been with us since 2006, and Laura's been with us off and on since 78, so it's just mind-blowing how well we get along. Really, really, I know people go, oh, she's just saying that, but we really do. We travel around and do things together when we're not even touring. So
hey, well, we had dinner and you guys were sitting there just having a normal conversation. Everyone's like, "What do they talk about backstage?" I'm like, "Normal stuff. It's not, you know."
Yeah.
We were talking about. I was talking to Barb. We were talking about all the different restaurants in Ferndale. How everything had changed. Trying to figure out where the hell you're going to go to get something to eat because there's so many new restaurants you can't figure it out.
Oh, I know. They're popping up all over the place, and that's obviously one of the things that people on tour do. They just, you know, scour out the best, the most interesting restaurants. You know, there's not a whole lot you can do, you know, as far as you can go to museums and maybe a movie, but, you know, you got to fill your soul, fill your belly.
Do you guys, and do you look out at all, Sean, and during this tour and realizing these are the final two gigs of Pine Knob? Is there a moment during the show where you can kind of look maybe at Bob or at the crowd and kind of take it in as a whole?
I try not to think about that. You know, when he started performing Famous Final Scene, even when we did it back in the 70s, it used to make me cry. And I have to kind of disassociate from the words of that song. It's just so poignant and so emotional. And I don't like to look out to the crowd and knowing especially now, these last two shows are going to be really the final two shows at BTE. Pine Knob.
You call Pine Knob. We call Pine Knob.
Pine Knob anymore.
Yeah. But that, like, I remember Moose had told me something, Sean. He said, like, when Bob would sing with Autumn Closing In and just pause for a second. You know how he does? You guys have that little, just that breath. It seems to me like, as just a fan being out there and watching, I think that's the moment that Bob looks and takes it all in, no matter where he's playing. It feels like that. And Moose said that at some point he looks around and the whole band's staring at Bob.
That's true. That's true. We are really focused on Bob all night long. And it's been such a thrill playing with Bob Seger all these years. It's just a fine, fine man. And what you see is what you get. He's just a great guy.
What did you learn from him as an artist? For you in your own solo endeavors, what did you learn? What have you learned from him, I guess, is a better way to say that?
Oh, gosh, so many things. Pacing your songs, talking to the audience, having something, a storyline to say about your songs to the audience, because they really are interested in hearing that. And doing songs that mean something to somebody else out there. You know, if you got a connection to the audience, most times you have them for life. And that's what Bob has. He's just got it. A connection to millions and millions of people for the rest of their lives.
Well, you're the same way, Sean. And when I love watching you perform because you're so into it when you're doing it and your music's amazing. SeanMurphyBand.com. Again, I want to mention that. You were telling me the award. I forgot to mention that. What award did you just get, Sean? I want to mention that. That was awesome.
Thank you. It's an award for radio marketing and branding from this fabulous company. And I want to tell everybody, all the indie artists out there listening, it's called AirplayDirect.com. And it's Linda and Robert Weingart, their baby. They are out of Nashville. But what they are is they're hooked up with tens of thousands of DJs. And when you sign up in this organization, your music will go out to all those DJs, and nobody else can download from there. It's only DJs. They have to have a special code. But this is a fabulous organization, and this is how I've been really, really spreading my wings musically through them. I've been with them since the first album, and I'm just about ready to release my ninth album with them. But it's a $50,000 award for radio marketing and branding. So, and it's the first lifetime achievement to a woman ever at Airplay Direct. So I am just over the moon with that. Wow.
It's a compliment, but it's well-earned. I mean, that's fantastic, Sean.
Thank you so much. So all you indie artists, get up there and join Airplay Direct.
So a young artist who's coming up, what do you say to him now? Someone who's like, who's got music in their soul and they're trying to get it out there, coming through the, like, what's the one piece of advice you have for him?
One piece. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Just protect yourself, protect your music. There's a lot of bad stuff out there. A lot of people want to take your music. A lot of people want to take your publishing. You're better off getting your own publishing company. If you go to CSAC, ASCAP, BMI, or any of the others, it's free to join up to get your own publishing company. Please do that and protect your music.
There you go. I have to ask, like, I know you did studio work with Glenn Frey. What did you work on with Glenn?
Actually, I did a little tour with him and Joe Walsh with Laura Creamer.
I was at the show in Orlando when you guys did one of that show. I know what you – do you remember in Orlando?
Yeah.
You guys did a show. The thing I remember – I apologize for interrupting, Sean, but it just popped into my head. They were at Disney. No, they were at – you guys were at Universal and at the Hard Rock Cafe, and Joe comes walking out wearing a Goofy hat. And you can see all the Universal
that
people
is
going,
absolutely why you love Joe Walsh.
Right, they're like, wrong park, you're in the wrong park. But did you know about Bob's relationship with Glenn?
Oh, absolutely. Being, you know, back with Bob in the 70s, Glenn was there a lot of the shows, and, you know, on and on. And every time we were in L.A. or Glenn was in Detroit here, when we were doing the show, he'd show up. It's just like Bruce Springsteen always shows up when we're in New Jersey.
Well, he was there, but yeah, I actually asked, I asked Bob when we did the thing for 33 Bob Seger Boulevard, the drive out of Pine Knob. Uh-huh. I said, why didn't you call Bruce? He's like, I don't want to bother him. Yeah, I knew he was there. He said, you guys knew he was there. He just didn't want to bother him. Like, you didn't want to bother him. I don't think it would have been a bother for Bruce to come on stage.
You know, sometimes people are kind of up in the air about stuff like that. And Bob is so conscious of everybody's feelings. You know, I think Bruce, if Bruce had said, you know, because they talked obviously before the show, if Bruce had said, I would love to sit in or anything, Bob would be right there.
Right. But it's not something he would never make the ask. He would they'd have to kind of say, yeah, I'm open to it.
Yeah, every now and then. It just depends on the situation. Of course, every situation is different.
See, now I always wonder about with Glenn, and I know you worked with Glenn and Joe, and I've always wondered about those sessions for like Fire Lake. I've always heard rumors that there's versions that just the Eagles do in Fire Lake, trying to get it down.
You know, I don't know that question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know Glenn is very, very strong vocally on the backgrounds for Fire Lake. And, I wish we were doing that song. The audience loves it. We love to do it. You know, there's 4 million songs we want to do live with Bob, especially on this final tour.
Right. Yeah, well, it's funny because we were playing a clip of we're going to play it actually on the radio on Thursday here in Detroit. This Yesterday Rules, the song that you guys, that Bob had done for Back to the Future. You guys did it once in concert. It's the damnedest thing.
I know. It's just he's got certain feelings about certain songs at certain times. So that's how the set list come together.
So we've been asking our listeners this, Sean. It's a fun conversation. If you're going to go on stage, with just as us, because you can imagine everybody wants to. I want to sing with Bob Seger. I have a tenor voice. 10 or 12 miles away sounds a lot better. I am not a good singer. I'm not. You do what you do so well. I don't. They have a section. They have a second collection plate at work just to keep me from singing at church. So,
Oh, no.
It's not good. It's never been a good voice. We had musicals in high school. My role was usher, and I'm not joking. I was always the usher. That was my thing. But if for us, I love asking listeners, if you go on stage, it's just you and Bob, what song would you sing? And it's Fire Lake and it's Sunspot Baby. I would do Sunspot Baby because I figure I could just howl and get away with it. So it's just you and Bob on stage at Pine Knob, just you two. What song are you singing?
Oh, my God, these are the hard questions. I think I might do Are You.
Really?
That's a rarity out of the hat.
Oh, it's a beautiful song. Okay. All right. And so when we're there Friday night, we're all going to be watching and stuff. And are you going to look out at the crowd Friday night for the last show?
Oh, my God. I look out at the crowd all the time. And the unfortunate thing is those lights are so bright, we can only see so far. So if you're waving, oh, she looked right at me. Well, if you're not in the first eight rows, I can't see you.
You mean you don't see me, the large Irish guy waving at you back in the pavilion? I thought you nodded at me, Sean. Come on. You should just randomly nod. Everyone will be happy.
Beer line. I know she looked at me.
Right, yeah. Laura elbowed her and said, yeah, Jim's there. Yeah, I see you. Oh, yeah, out there. Yeah, the drunk guy with the beer waving at me. Yeah, that's him right out there. Yep, that's me. Man, it's so much fun. You're in such great voice, too, and it's amazing to me that you just – there are certain artists that as they grow as artists, like, I'm always stunned how Springsteen sounds. Did he make a deal with someone that we don't know about? And you're the same way, Sean. Your voice is just on point every time you perform.
Well, thanks, and I'm so excited for you to hear the new record because it's got some great songs on it and – great performances. I'm really thrilled about it. And vocally, I couldn't be more excited about this record.
So I got to ask the question because you've got this stuck in my head now. Sean Murphy with us, and you're so gracious with your time. SeanMurphyBand.com, the website, of course, we'll have all the links here as well. Is that how Bob, I know you mentioned Famous Final Scene earlier. Is that how it ends? Is that like the last song? It has to be, doesn't it?
No, not at all. I mean, it is a song about a relationship. So, you know, I love songs with multiple meanings. And Bob is very, very famous for that because there's people out there that carry into their heart different meanings that works for them, you know? So, Famous Final Scene, I've been able to put it somewhere so I don't cry every time I hear it. And we're actually adding some background vocals, which really aren't on the original track. So that kind of helps because I'm concentrating on where the heck I am singing-wise.
But do you think, like, I mean, and I'm not putting you on the spot or anything, I just, you know, we normally wrap up the shows with Rock and Roll Never Forgets. It's kind of the, you know, the big boom and then the show's over. But that last show, whenever it is, which I hope is never, I hope he just keeps going. Hell, if Kiss can do a farewell tour for 20 years, you guys can keep doing the same thing, right?
Oh, 20 years. I don't know about
that. But you know what I mean. It's like everyone's like, with the farewell tour, I'm like, yeah, so what? Keep going. If you're having fun, keep doing what you're doing. And everybody sounds great. Would that be the last song, though?
But the thing is, Bob is having such a great time. We are extending, as you can see on the website, there's a few fall dates coming in. He does not want to be known for the never-ending farewell tour. That's one thing he stated in the beginning. So I think there is going to be a finality to this whole thing. I'm not sure exactly when, but I just, you know, Bob has said over and over, he's just thrilled with the band. This is the best sounding band that he's ever worked with. And he's just in fine form, great spirits. So, but I do think we're going to still be ending with Rock and Roll Never Forget.
Actually, my thought is the very last show, let him go out there and do Lucifer and just destroy his voice. Just go for it. just blow it out. And everyone goes like, oh, my God. And just go, you guys with your backing vocals and Bob, and I know it's nowhere he would go, you could make that song work.
Well, that would be true. And don't think that hasn't been mentioned as one of the songs that, you know, people want to hear. I mean, a lot of people are writing in, oh, I want to hear this, I want to hear that, I want to hear this and that. You know, it's so difficult with an artist that has so much catalog. You just want to hear everything, and there's only 2 hours
right
to hear it all. So,
yeah.
It makes it tough. And now, you know, this last tour, he's been trying to pull in other songs that we haven't played in a long, long time.
Oh, and it sounds great every night, Sean. You're just amazing, and it's so much fun. So, last question, I'll leave you with this, and this is something else I've asked. I've asked other artists this too. If someone comes up to you and they're maybe 15, 16 years old, and they have never heard a Bob Seger song in their life, what's the one Bob Seger song you have them listen to? You go, this is Bob Seger. Listen to this.
You have got me. I'm a hot seat at all times.
No.
You know what? I have to revert back to my new album, which is called Reason to Try. Bob was ever so gracious to allow me to record one of his songs on this record. And it's always been it's another one that I get chills from. And his performance is flawless. And the name of the song is Someday.
Oh, are you kidding? Oh, okay. You got me. Yeah, that's fantastic. See, Sean, that's how as fans, I would just tell you the reason why I want to ask these questions. Like you said, you get so much feedback from fans, but there's so many of us that just love what you do on stage, your solo stuff as well. And it's just your perspective is unique, even from a musician being part of the band. Your perspective with Bob, the studio stuff you've done, is just unique. I mean, to be up there with Laura and Barbara like you are, no one, there's three people in the world can say they're there at Pine Knob on a Wednesday and a Friday night for the last two shows up on stage like that. And that's the three of you.
That's true. And there'll be some many, many tears shed on that last night, hopefully off stage.
No, you'll be fine. You'll hold it together.
We have played at Pine Knob. I ain't going to call it DTE, but we played at Pine Knob for decades, you know, and this is really it. So it is the absolute special run for all of us to be here at DTE Pine Knob.
If I don't get back there tonight, I'll come back. I got a shirt for you, and I'll bring it back for all the ladies there. And on the front of it, we had these made up. Rock and Roll Never Forgets, it's called Pine Knob on the front of it.
Yay.
Yeah, I'll bring that back. And then on the back of it, we did The Shape of Michigan, and we put every Seger song title filling in the state.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's
fantastic. I gave one to Moose, but he's bigger than me, so he intimidated me. So, yeah, that was it. But anyway, Sean, SeanMurphyBand.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram as well. You're a peach.
And YouTube.
And YouTube, absolutely. YouTube. We're going to have the link there. So, and I want to go. Want to hear the new music as well. And I would assume when you catch your breath a bit, you're going to do some solo stuff here in Detroit?
Absolutely will. Don't have anything planned just yet. You know, the album comes out August 1st.
Okay. That's what I was about to ask.
I'm headlining a festival on September 1st. And then, of course, Bob kicks up again on the 15th. So not sure how long that's going to go. I'm looking at some other festivals starting after the first of the year on 2020. So
what about,
here we go.
What about the Cadieu Cafe? We could come down there and do a gig.
We've been looking at the Cadieu. I've been talking to John Rutherford, one of the new owners.
Yeah.
And, we've been looking at a few other places. So, you know, don't have any just guesstimate on where we're going to land just
I'm
yet.
Thinking,
and I'm so sorry that Mike Moss had sold Callahan, so that is definitely more.
Yeah, but I'm thinking Sean Murphy, Feather Bowling, a big beer and some muscles. That's a great Friday night. See? There you go.
We got great muscles.
We got it all mapped out. Sean, all the best, and we'll see you soon.
All right. Thanks so much, Jim.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.